All right, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 18. Galatians, Philippians, Colossians, right? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. What is it? General Electric Power Company. There you go. I titled this, Your Vision May Have Detours. Chapter 1, verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, the things that happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice. Yes, and will rejoice. Let's pray. Jesus, God, I thank you, Lord, that I know that you are in this house. I know, Lord, that you are able, and you're the only one able, Lord, to touch every person's heart in this place. God, you know us better than we know ourselves. Your word says that you know every hair on our head. God, you know us intimately, and you know what kind of week we had. You know the difficulties are the joyous things that we have gone through. And Father, I just ask you right now, let the Spirit flow freely in this place. May there be no hindering spirit allowed in this place to deter your moving, God. I pray, Lord, reach down and touch the brokenhearted. Touch those that need a word of encouragement. God, may your Spirit dwell with us today. May your Spirit just encourage us and bring forth grace and truth and life in Jesus' name. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my rock and my redeemer, and I worship you with all my heart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I wanted to review just a little bit, not only for those of you that missed last week, but for just those that were here. I just want to bring some things back to your memory, to your remembrance. So Paul started this church, and this is actually his second missionary journey, was when he went to Philippi. During his first missionary journey, he took Barnabas with him. And you remember when they got back, Barnabas and Paul had such a disagreement that they decided to break company with each other. And it was over. You know, Paul was a driver and Barnabas was an encourager. And sometimes those two types of people will conflict, right? Because the driver says, we got to get this accomplished. And the encourager says, oh, let's just love everybody, right? Let's just help everybody. And so Barnabas said, let's take my nephew, John Mark. And Paul says, no way, he deserted us. And so they broke company over that fact. So Barnabas goes with John Mark, and he goes out on the journey, in which we don't really know the story for that. We'll find that out in heaven what happened. But Paul said, I'll take Silas with me. And Silas probably thought, oh boy, didn't know he's going to get beat with rods here in a couple days. Woo-hoo! I'm on the journey now, right? So they leave out and they're trying to head to Asia, and God keeps closing the doors. Man, I don't like it when God closes doors. Do you? But aren't you thankful God closes doors? Are you hearing me, church? Don't push too hard on a door that God closes. He may allow it to open. If God closes the door, say, thank you, Jesus. I'll go in a different direction. So Paul has a vision and sees a little guy from Macedonia. I guess the dress gave it away. And he says, Paul, come over here and help us. Come over here and help us. So Paul gets up the next day and says, I know where we're going, boys. We're going to Macedonia. And so a man tells him to come over. And the very first thing he does is he runs into a ladies' prayer meeting. He's, well, where's the men at, right? Wasn't enough men to have a synagogue in that city. So the ladies worshiped at the seaside. And Paul happens up on them. And so he begins to minister to them, and there's one lady in particular he talks about. The lady's name is Lydia, and she's a seller of purple. In other words, this is a very successful businesswoman. And the Bible says specifically that she was a worshiper of God, which probably meant she was Jewish. But, you know, one time in the Bible it talks about Cornelius, and Cornelius was a devout centurion, a Roman centurion, but he was a worshiper of God. So it doesn't have to mean that. But she wasn't saved. She didn't know about Jesus. So Paul begins to share the gospel to these ladies. And the Bible says this, and I thought this was very interesting. This all comes from Acts chapter 16. He says, the Lord opened Lydia's heart. You know, sometimes we need Jesus to open our heart, right? Maybe your heart is closed today because of hurt or something else, and God wants to open your heart. So Lydia and her entire household got saved. They go then the next day, they go into town and they're beginning to share the gospel. And a little girl comes up behind them and says, hey, listen to these guys. These are servants of the Most High God, and they bring to you the way of salvation. Hallelujah. I would welcome that little girl in this church as you all sit there and look to me. That's a hallelujah corner. That's what every Pentecostal preacher wants, right? Give me somebody who's got a little excitement and says, go, preacher, go. Yeah, tell the truth, brother. And that's what she was doing. And the Bible says she did it for many days. Now, the town knew who that little girl was. She was demon-possessed. She told fortunes for a living for people that owned her. She was a slave. And so the Bible says this. Finally, Paul became greatly annoyed. You know, I was cleaning that trash out yesterday. I sort of felt that spirit of Paul. I become greatly annoyed. different kind of thing. Paul finally got greatly annoyed. It was like his eyes were open, and he cast that demon out of that girl. Her owners were not happy. The little girl had been set free, but the owners had lost her. I called it a cash cow last week. Treva didn't like that name too much. She said, why did you call her a cash cow for? But she was their money maker, however you want to say it. So they took Paul and Silas to downtown to the magistrates, the leaders, and they decided to beat them with rods. In the Jews, you could beat a person, but you could only beat them with 39 stripes because that showed a little grace in what they did. But the Romans didn't know grace. We don't know how many times they were beaten, but they were probably beaten severely, lacerated, probably some broken bones. They were miserable, miserably hurt. And so then they said, now throw them into jail and you make sure they don't come out of there. So the jailer took him and he put him in the innermost cell, pitch black, I'm sure. Put their feet in stocks. And then The Bible says around midnight. Now we don't, I don't think they really knew what time it was because it probably was dark when they got there. And so somewhere later in the night, they were singing praises and God brought deliverance. He brought an earthquake and freed them all. The jailer somehow sees what's happening, looks up, and Paul said he was able to see him and said that he had drawn his sword and he was getting ready to kill himself because that jailer knew he was dead in the morning anyway, right? Because it didn't just free Paul, it freed all of them. And if this guy loses all of his inmates, he's in trouble. He's going to lose his head. And so he's about to kill himself. And Paul says, hey, don't do yourself any harm. Don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. You know, so he leads this jailer to the Lord in salvation. And the jailer and his whole household gets saved and was baptized that night. And so the church is born. It's got Lydia and other women. It's got a former demon-possessed little slave girl that probably is going to church there at the first assembly. It's got a jailer and probably other inmates. Because the word says that when they begin to worship, it says the other inmates were listening. So I wanted to bring, that's the story of the beginning of this church at Philippi. Paul now is writing this letter about 10 years later. Reminiscing in his mind, obviously. But there's some things that I wanted to bring to your remembrance. Some things that I wanted to like clarify and put in a funnel and say, here's what I think we can look at. Sometimes reality looks different than our vision. You think you're going to change the world, right? You think, Lord, I've got a vision to do this, and it doesn't work out the way you thought. I want to remind you one thing. They were there because of their obedience, not their disobedience. It's their obedience to God that got them beat. God gave him a vision and said, come over here and preach the gospel to us. Oh, that's a great reception. Get beat with rods. Can you imagine Silas? This is his first trip. What did I sign up for? Oh, you know, I mean, I'm sure he's thinking, this is what ministry is? A whole lot of it. A whole lot of it. So sometimes things just doesn't match up with the way you thought it was going to work out. You know, honestly, it rarely works out the way we think it's going to work out. Right? Man, this walk is a walk of faith. Right? You just got to trust God that He is leading and He is in control. Can I remind you what joy is? Remember we said that this is the book of joy because this church was considered a hilarious, not funny, ha-ha, a hilarious giving church. So joy is the assurance that God is in control. It's the quiet confidence that things are going to be okay. Man, that's a seed that needs to be sown into somebody's heart. It's the determined choice to praise Him in every situation. And it is the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the thing about fruit is you can't cause it to happen. No tomatoes. You know, fruit is an outgrowth of seed being planted. Oh, that was good. That's a Holy Ghost right there. I didn't know I was going to say that. Somebody write that down. Give it back to me. Number two, they need to look at their circumstances through the lens of their purpose. They need to look at their circumstances through the lens of their purpose. Why were we called to this city? Don't just look at being beat and stuff like that. You gotta bring it through the lens of God called me here. This is the purpose. Number three, this is pretty powerful. Your praise has the power to set others free. See, it wasn't just them that were set free. It was the whole jail. The whole jail wasn't worshiping. Two men was worshiping. Their praise set everybody free. Oh, if the church would just quit grumbling and griping and murmuring. If we would put on our praise, no telling what God would do. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. They didn't start praising God because they thought God would send an earthquake. It wasn't for deliverance. It was out of devotion. See, when you get squeezed in this life, what you really are comes out. Don't go there. They had been squeezed pretty tightly. What happened? Their worship came out. Some of you have been squeezed this week, and you have a choice. First of all, let me say, God bless you for being in the house of God. That's a good indication. But when you get squeezed, you have a choice to murmur, to complain, or to worship. Your choice, folks. Your choice. But I promise you, if you worship during the squeezing, the fruit is much better. Something great could happen. Also wanted to let you know that others are watching and are listening right now in your life. People are watching you. People are listening. They know if you're going through a difficult time, and they're watching you. So Paul is writing this 10 years after the fact, and he starts off in this letter today. He encourages them. He's saying, you know, you just keep on going. God's going to accomplish what he's doing in you. But then the verses that we read today, he starts with a fourfold prayer. Paul prays for them, and I find it very interesting because I think of how we would pray today. How would we pray today if we were praying for another church? I'm going to tell you, preachers like to talk about ABC, attendance, building, and cash. And none of those are mentioned. He did not pray, Lord, let them walk under an open heaven. I could hear a preacher praying that, couldn't you? God, open up the heavens and pour out a blessing for them. He didn't pray that. His prayer was very unusual, I think. He didn't pray for God to do anything. He prayed for them to do several things. You ever think that maybe it's less about God and how you respond? He starts off and he says, what does he say? That your love will overflow and abound. Our love is the foundation of everything about being a child of God. Right? He later goes on, he says, now some are preaching the gospel because they don't like me. Right? That's the way we ended. Some are preaching the gospel out of this wrong motive. He said, but leave them alone. At least they're preaching the gospel. You see, Americans, Christian Americans, we have to revisit even what love is. Because Hollywood has tainted what love is. Love is nothing like what you see on TV. Love is a decision. I can love you and may not like you. Woo-wee, this is getting good. I don't have to agree with everything you say. Still walk in love with you. I heard one preacher say this week, he said, Christians have lost the ability to disagree agreeably. And I thought, my goodness, you're going to say that the week of elections? Your timing is great. We don't have to agree on everything to love each other. If you're not married, that might be news to you. If you're married, you're like, okay, come on, give me something I don't know. Love is sacrifice. What are you willing to give up? You see, it's easy to talk love. It's difficult to live love. And he's not talking about talking the talk. He's talking about walking the walk. He said, I want your love to overflow. Let your love abound in this church. I believe this. I believe God will build a church for a group of people that will walk in love. But if you're bickering and fighting and can't get along with each other, why would God send somebody in that church that doesn't know him? It'd be disastrous. You know, John goes on, he says, oh, it's easy to say, I love God, I love Jesus, hallelujah. I just can't stand my brothers. It's the brother and sister, I don't like you, get out of here. Right? It's easy to say you love Jesus who you cannot see. How you doing loving each other? Love's the foundation for everything we're going to do. Love's the foundation for the word going forth. Love's the foundation for every family. Right? Love's the foundation for the church. Love is the foundation. He said, I want your love to overflow. Don't just come up to the level. Let it just gush out of you. May it abound so that the world will see not that God loves, but that you love. They asked Jesus what the most important laws were, and he said that you love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And all the words of the prophet and all the words of the law hang on these two commandments. I just said five, didn't I? Two. Love God. Love each other. Listen just a second. It doesn't get any more spiritual than that. He says, number two, that you would keep on growing in knowledge and discernment so that you can approve the things that are excellent, are the things that really matter. I got a question for you. Those of you that are ideal people, do you know what I mean by that? People's got ideas. They just flow with these ideas. Hey, we need to do this and we need to do that. 10 years of ministry, and I'm going to tell you, I've had so many ideas come across my desk. And you know, for the most part, they're good ideas. I just didn't know if they were God ideas. We don't want to do the good ideas. We want to do the God ideas. Is God anointing this? You know, it took Paul, the Bible doesn't tell us, but it took Paul several days to walk in discernment. That girl is not my hallelujah corner. That girl's demon possessed. She's disrupting. She's not helping. Man, I think if it took Paul that long to discern, what about you? You know, discernment is important. Can I just read to you what Charles Spurgeon said? He said, discernment is not knowing the difference in right and wrong. It's knowing the difference between right and almost right. Man, I thought that was powerful. I think most people know the difference, or they used to. Most people know the difference in right and wrong. But do you know the difference in right and almost right? You know, because the devil rarely ever comes at us with such a lie that totally obliterates the Word of God. What he does is he slips in the truth, but it's just a little twisted. Can you discern that, my brother? See, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, everybody wants to speak in tongues. Nobody says, I just need discernment of the Spirit. What's discern mean? It means to put to the test. You know what Paul said in the last days? He said there'd be deceiving spirits. It's almost like the devil is going to release spirits in this world that's going to try to lead you astray. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2. And he says this, many will leave the faith. That ought to make you just a little bit nervous. Because we have a lot of people preaching that you can't leave the faith. You see, I disagree with that doctrine. My heart says, oh dear God, I hope they're right, I hope they're right. But I don't think they are. See, it's not like God deserts you. It's you deserting God. According to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, many will depart the faith. Why? Because of deceiving spirits. That's not Holy Spirit. That's demonic spirits. Are going to be trying to get you to not know truth. Do you know we have probably the most ignorant church, not this church, I'm saying church worldwide, probably from the beginning of the church until now, I believe the church is probably the most ignorant it's ever been on the Word of God. Amen. And if you don't have the foundation of truth, you're going to fall for a lie. This whole countercultural thing, whatever you want to call it, is pointed at you. They know this world will believe that garbage they're pushing. What they're wanting to do is get you. You, my brother. You, my sister. Will you hang on the truth? Or will you believe the lie? You better know the Word. The Word grounds you. He says three. He says that you would be sincere. Sincere is without hypocrisy. The word sincere, and a lot of times the Greek would write words and they would have a picture. And remember those parties they used to have where everybody would come in with a mask and they'd hold this mask up. And when they would take the mask down, that is the picture of sincere. Do you know today many people walk into the church with a mask on? Man, I am just preaching a lot better than you're shouting today. You're just making me keep coming down. I may just have to walk the circle. I don't know. You see, I don't know that God can touch us until we take the mask off. Until you're willing to humble yourself and say, I'm broken and I need help. I need a God that can put me back together. Hallelujah. That's the person that God can touch. That you would be sincere, without hypocrisy, and without offense, pure and blameless, until He returns. What's the church known for? Offense. Right? Am I right? Churches will split over carpet, they'll split over paint colors, they'll split over doctrine occasionally, but rarely. They'll split over the fact that the pastor didn't shake my hand. That you would be sincere without offense. Jesus said this, He said, offenses will come. Is there anything more true than that? Do you go one day in your life that somebody doesn't offend you, that you have to say, Jesus, just forgive them. I forgive them, Lord. It happens all the time. He says in 2 Corinthians 7:1, He says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I read that to you because it says, let us cleanse ourselves. So many of us are saying, God, if you want me clean, clean me up. And God's looking back at you and say, take a bath, boy. Clean yourself. James chapter 4, verse 8 and 10. I'll picture it to you a little bit different. Draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. There's a promise in that. But you've got the first step. I remember on our Tuesday night thing, one time this guy just touched my heart. It's the guy from Phases to Freedom. His name's Mike, precious brother in the Lord. But he was really early in his walk with God. He said one time on a Tuesday night, he said, God did nothing in my life until I humbled myself. Whoa. Truth, truth, truth. Draw near to God. You want to touch a God today? You take the first step. You draw near, and God says He'll draw near to you. Then down in verse 10, I believe it is. No, this is still verse 8. He says, cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your hearts. He's talking to the church. How would you like it if I talked to you though? Cleanse your feet. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Church would be half the size next week. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He'll lift you up. The fourth thing he says is, you are filled with the fruit of righteousness. Or some versions say, you are filled with the fruit of salvation. I got news for you. If you're saved, it's going to have fruit. There's an old story about a guy that chopped wood for a living. I heard this years ago, and I'm sure I've told you. He cut wood for a living, and the whole city knew that, you know, his ricks were just a little shy. You know, it's supposed to be 4 foot by 8 foot, 24 inches. Everybody knew his cuts were 20 inches wide. If he made them just a little short, he'd make a little bit more money. One day, the old boy got saved. And somebody came out to his house and said, where's the last rick you cut? And he said, well, it's right there. Oh, my guy pulled out his tape measure, and he 24 inches wide, 8 foot long, 4 foot wide. Well, you really did get saved, didn't you? That's the fruit of salvation. That's the fruit of righteousness. You see, too many people are acting like they're saved. They're not sincere. They got the mask on. But I'm going to tell you, when you have an encounter with Christ, you listen to me. When you have an encounter with Christ, something's going to change in your life. Psalms chapter 1. He says this, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that shall bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. I'm going to tell you, when you get saved, when you trust Jesus for your life, there's going to be changes that begin to occur in you. Nobody has to preach a word. All of a sudden, there's this righteousness that starts in you. It's not your righteousness, it's the righteousness of God. All of a sudden, the things that you used to say, you don't want to talk about anymore. The hateful attitudes begin to decrease. The things of the flesh just all of a sudden don't interest you like they used to. Say, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. Then you need to get saved. A genuine submission to God. I promise you, if you can't tell a difference between the day you wasn't born again and the day you say you were born again, revisit it. Wasn't planning on talking that hard. You know, the church is so much more interested in the gifts than we are the fruit. We judge people by their giftings. No, 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 no. Judge people by the character, the fruit of their life. I know some of you say, the Bible says we're not supposed to judge. Suck it up, buttercup. You know we do, right? Every one of us, we do. And that ain't what God's talking about. It's not like you stand in judgment of morality over somebody. But when you look at somebody, what do you see? You know, it's so obvious to me that person tells the truth all the time. You know, whether it benefits them or whether they know it's going to get into trouble, you can count on that person right there. They're going to tell you the truth. That's God. A man, a lie. But a man of God won't. A man of God doesn't tell dirty jokes. Pastor, you gone to meddling? Yes, I have. That's my gifting. I'm just good at this. Okay, I'll move on. Maybe. James chapter 1 says this, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. See, there's enough word that's going forth in this service right now that if you will let it sink in, God will save you as you submit yourself to Him. Okay, the last part of this, he says, the things that have happened to me have actually helped spread the gospel. Ooh, come on, I got to come down and talk to you again. It couldn't be God that got them beat. God used it. Every person in that prison got to see a miracle of God. Paul said this, the things that happened to me, it's all for the benefit of the kingdom. Are you getting that? That's not human. That's not human thinking. We don't think like that. That's supernatural thinking. Brother Kevin asked me, he said, did you have a good week? I looked at him and said, no, not really. I had to clean trash out twice. No, not really. Didn't really have a very good week. But my week wasn't like Paul's. I didn't get beat with rods, thank God. Can you trust God in difficulty to further the gospel? So I know some of you, Deb, I know it's a hard day. It's a hard day for some of you. We walk by faith, not by sight. Can you say, God, I'm just trusting you. This don't make sense. Any of you ever had a job you hated? I mean, just hated. Just get sick in the morning before you go to work just thinking about being at work. All you can think about is, Lord, deliver me from that place. Have you ever thought maybe God put you there? You see, I'm trying to get you to look at things from a different perspective. You know, God says this, precious in the sight of God is the death of one of His saints. I promise you, I will never use precious and death in the same sentence, but God does. Because from my position, death hurts. But from God's, death is a celebration. Right? If they know Him, their battle is done. All of a sudden, eternal life becomes sweet. We make our best decisions, don't we? We make those lists, pros and cons. And we try to find, I pray about things and try to make a good decision. But when it goes bad, you know what my first thought is? Well, I miss God there. Boy, I sure miss God. Maybe not. Maybe not. Some people are always saying, Pastor, we got to learn to close the back door of this church. And I know that's probably wise. But I got news for you. Some people bless you coming and some people bless you going. You might not want to run after everybody. You know, the Bible says it's God that builds the church. Can we just trust Him to do it? Now, are we supposed to do something? Absolutely. What are you supposed to do? We're supposed to win souls. We're supposed to go, invite them in with every ounce of urgency we've got, basically. He goes on, he says, all that stuff I went through, it was for good. I'm telling you, folks, if you get your mind here, this blows your mind. Don't ever hit me in the nose with your fist and expect me to say, oh, that was good. Hallelujah. May Jesus be exalted today. No, no. I'm going to say, brother, did you see that? You arrest that guy. He gives an interesting statement right about this time. He says, all the palace guards knows that it's for the furtherance of the kingdom. What? That doesn't make sense. Why'd you throw that in there, Paul? Because Paul is saying, yeah, I'm under arrest. And everybody that's working in the palace, they're all brothers and sisters in the Lord now. They've all got saved. And they all say, bless God, Paul, for being faithful during difficult times because that brought the gospel to me. You see, if you'd never been arrested, Paul, I would have never heard the gospel. If I never worked at Dana, those people never heard the gospel. If I never picked up garbage for a living, not this week. Where's God got you that maybe you're not too happy about? You might be saying, this church right now. Wow. You know the old saying that you know, bloom where you're planted. What God got going on in your life right now, bring Jesus into it. Right? Rather than murmuring and complaining, just let Him shine. He says, others are preaching the gospel with wrong motives. Leave them alone. At least the gospel is being preached. There's this lady that I read about years ago, and her name was Anna Tomasek. She was a single woman, never got married. Born in 1902, died in 1981. She was known as Mama G. And God put a vision in her heart to go to Nepal to preach the gospel. So she goes to Nepal. Now this is a big deal for a single woman in the early 1900s. To become a missionary in a foreign land without really the support of anyone. She goes, and Nepal says, you're not getting in here. No way. We are not going to allow you into this city. And they closed the whole country down to her. So she thought, what can I do? She rented a house as close to the border of Nepal as she could get. And she went to the dump one day and saw babies. Her heart was broken with compassion. She began to pick up the babies that had been dumped and bring them back to her house. This lady started an orphanage right in her home. She said she had a twofold mission to raise abandoned children and reach the people of Nepal. For 30 years, this lady ran this orphanage and changed the lives of these babies. Now, God put the vision on her heart, go preach the gospel in Nepal. For 30 years, that didn't work. So she bloomed where she was planted. People just started bringing their kids to them and said, we can't take care of them, we can't feed them. This lady who had no support was totally dependent upon the Lord to feed these kids, 420 to be exact. As life went on for these 30 years, she raised a lot of men and women, a lot of Nepalian men and women, who later on went and began to work for the state. You know what some of them did? They became border guards. Well, when your son is the border guard to the nation, you're probably not going to have any problem getting into the country. So all of a sudden, a nation that said, you can't come here, they said, Mama G, you want in? Come on in. All of a sudden, she has, after 30 years, sometimes it seems like God is just slow. Right? God, I don't understand your clock. He's just slow in getting you there. For 30 years, she taught these little abandoned children life skills and to love Jesus. And she and her children started going into Nepal and starting churches. She is known as basically the instrument that brought the gospel to this nation. What if she had stopped when they said no? What if she said, but God, I know you told me to go to Nepal, but they won't let me in. You must have something different for me. I'm going to go back where it's easy. Life wasn't easy for her. Every day was a walk of faith. God, how are we going to feed these kids today? Miracle after miracle she saw. I'm speaking that to you. Life may not look the way you thought it was going to look. It rarely does. But let God be true and every man a liar. If God has given has put a purpose in your heart, if God has given you a vision of what to do, if God has placed you somewhere, you be faithful. God will work it out. Stand with me. Felt like the Lord just gave me a couple of things to ask you at the end. Are you discouraged because the vision is not working the way you thought it would? Are you discouraged because you don't see the fruit of righteousness working in your life? Some of you may just say very honestly, I need joy. You know God cares. You know God wants you to have joy. Not laughing. Just, to me, joy is confidence. It's just confidence that knows my God. That knows that He's going to work it out. I don't have to, I don't want to ask you that. Many of us have a problem with anxiety, have a problem with worry, because you think it's all about you. That's what it boils down to. I gotta make this happen. No, you don't. Quit trying to make things happen. Just trust Him. Is that not an anointed word? Wherever you're at today, could you just say, God, I just trust You. I don't necessarily like where I'm at today, but I trust You. Joseph looked at his brothers in the Old Testament. He said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. You know, I think a lot of times we get it wrong. You know, I think a lot of times we examine our life and we see nothing but evil. It's hard to see that in the disappointments of life, that God is still in charge. And God is still on the throne, and He may be taking your disappointments. If there's anything that amazes me about God, it's this: how He can take disaster and bring something good out of it. Only God. If you'd like prayer today, if you'd like to come and just maybe confess something to the Lord, not to me, but to the Lord, if you'd like to just step forward and say, you know, the Holy Spirit is just dealing with me today, and I just want to get a couple of things off my chest to Jesus, I just invite you right now, as Treva begins to play this last chorus, would you just step out and come in surrender and humility and say, God, not sure how You can do it, but I trust You. Amen. Somebody.
My righteousness, oh God, how I need You. So teach my soul to rise to You. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on You. Jesus, You're my hope.
Singing this, I sing praises to Your name.